Hey, it's Joe. Do you ever feel like your pain problems are just worse than other people's? Your pain problems don't go away because you just have it tougher than everybody else? Well, you've come to the right place. Today, I have Rick Olderman back on the show. This is his third visit. And finally, his genius approach is sinking in to me, and I think it's going to make a big difference. Let's listen into Rick while he shares his simplified diagnostic strategy to help you figure out exactly what structural trap your body is stuck in and to then give us immediate actionable insights. Rick Olderman, welcome back to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Man, yeah, this is the third time. You are a real friend of the show. I appreciate that.
I love being a friend of the show. I love doing podcasts. So thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Pain is an old friend of mine who I'd like to be less friendly with. And I've learned so much from you over the years. First of all, I want to just say thank you. There's so many people in the space, people that I've gone to visit as professionals to get help. And lots of people can do a job. They're competent. And so much in your field, helping people who have pain, people have got I've got three things that almost always work for this and two things that almost always work for that. And, I got this back thing and they're like, oh, okay, well, here's what you should do. And they're not that confident that it's going to work because, it's usually one of these three things. We'll start with that one that's a good one to start with. And I'm not that confident it's going to work because, they didn't really spend much time figuring it out. But what you do that I just find so reassuring is you do tests. You do work to figure out what's probably the answer. And therefore, we can all be pretty confident that I'm doing the right thing. And therefore, just because I don't get benefit of it in the first 10 seconds or the first 2 days, I'm going to stick with it because I'm confident that this is something that's probably going to work. And then and if I do the therapy properly, whatever I'm supposed to do, sometimes it's just changing the position of my chair and my desk, and I do it long enough, it's going to pay off. But if I wasn't that confident to begin with, then I just want to jump from thing to thing. I'm looking for the magic bean, the magic electrical stim, the thing that's going to make all the difference. And that thing just doesn't exist unless it's like a rock in my shoe, and then I just got to get the rock out.
Well, I think, I'll push back a little bit on this in that it doesn't necessarily take you 2 days or 2 weeks to figure out whether something's working or not. Yeah. I function from the premise that you should feel almost immediate pain relief if we're doing the right thing. And so that's what it makes it much easier for me to do all that testing that you're talking about. I have this idea that I use called test retest strategy. And basically, let's say you have sciatic pain. And every time I do this, there goes that sciatic pain. Well, that's your trigger. And so if I do some testing and I think, this is one of the problems, and then I have you correct that problem, and then you do the sciatic pain, I expect that sciatic pain to be significantly less if I've just corrected one of the right things. And so that's the test and then retest. And so this is the beauty of how the body works, is that it gives you almost immediate feedback. And so many people believe that, I've had back pain for 20 years, so it's going to take 5 years for me to fix. Or, you have a stem cell injection or platelet injection. They say, well, in 6 to 9 months, we'll figure out there's a myriad of life happens in that 6 to 9 months. Any number of things could have happened to either make your pain stay or make it go away. So, but this is the beauty that I've discovered in working with people that I know almost immediately when something is right. And mm-hmm. So they know, and more importantly, they know because they feel their pain change.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, okay, maybe my pains are more stubborn than others, but it's good to know. Well,
here's the thing, Joe. I mean, it's probably not more stubborn. It's probably that you're not testing it or intervening correctly. Ah. So your interventions are not meaningful. And this gets back to something we were talking about before, is that a lot of therapists, just give you exercises, right? And this is, I agree with you. This is a big problem, is that, you've got back pain. Here's these 20 exercises that will likely, and it's like throwing spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks. Hmm. And there's very little, it's, in my opinion, meaningful testing that's happening to determine what the actual problem is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So, you know, I'm not even sure where to jump in, but I think that just to confirm, we're talking about the older athlete here today. That's who's listening in. That's me. Maybe that's you too.
Me too.
The stuff about older athletes, I mean, I think that's relevant here, most relevant, is that we're older. So we've had more time in the show and maybe more injuries, maybe certainly more times around the sun, and stuff starts to not work as well. And that just shows up. It shows up in my body's ability to heal and other ways, you know, but also we're using our bodies pretty intensely. And so there's no hiding from things. If I'm not, if I've got a problem, I'm feeling it. So anyway, I think we're the perfect audience for you. So anyway, I'm not sure where to go with this thing. There's a few things that I mentioned offline that I'm interested in. One is this amazing human body that is so great at adapting and compensating for problems that we have, injuries and things like that, that make us durable. You know, we live a long time and we aren't perfect for a lot of that time, and often without any pain. You can do MRIs on people of all ages and you see all kinds of problems inside of them and they are fine. I don't have any problems, right? It's like, well, you know, if I look just at your image, it'd be like, yeah, get in here. We got to do some surgery on you. So, but people seem to be really durable right up until they aren't. And so they have this pain. And so, you know, when we have talked in the past, it's always sort of about the pain, but pain really is the middle of the process, right? It's all before that.
Yes. And so the real takeaway here is just because you're not having pain doesn't mean there's something not wrong. So often there are lots of things going wrong with us, but because it doesn't rise to the level of pain, we tend to think that everything's just hunky-dory. And right. Just you brought up the MRIs, you know, MRIs show all of these changes, but I have no pain, so I'm doing just fine. Well, no. The MRI is showing you that something is happening to your body under your radar that's leading to these structural changes in your spine or your hip or your knee or shoulder or whatever that is that need to be addressed. Because it hasn't risen to the level of pain doesn't mean that there's nothing wrong. And that's the beauty of our body, is that we are compensation machines. We can compensate around just about anything and not experience pain. But that doesn't mean that nothing's wrong.
Well, so that's great. Maybe you can tell us about this business of what you do. People have pain. Okay, that may be why they came to see you. But you don't start with, tell me more about your pain. You're like, let me see you move. Because you're looking for something. What are you looking for?
Everything. So, you know, I described it like, do you play chess?
I have played chess. I know how.
Okay. So if you've ever written or read any books by chess masters or watched chess masters play, they see the whole game all at once. They see all the pieces and they see the permutations of movements that those pieces can do all at once. And because I've been looking at the body from a systems standpoint for so many years, that's kind of how I see the body. I can see almost all the problems at once, and I've kind of narrowed down the tests that I need to do to like maybe 7 tests to really figure out the root cause of almost everyone's pain. And that's kind of how I work. So the questions are important, because the most important question is not their current pain, but their history. So that history is giving me the breadcrumbs that I'm looking for to understand why this thing happened now. And so that tells me, you know, yes, we can solve this pain now, but we also need to solve why it's happening in the first place.
So this is like getting back to like old injuries or like illnesses or something like that?
Exactly.
Okay, because what I thought you, what I understood that you did, it makes sense that you would want that kind of history. But I also thought that what you were doing related to this idea that the pain, which is just maybe a symptom of an overload somewhere, some irritation of some tissues that have been used a little too much and recovered a little too little, Could be just because I ran, you know, three marathons back to back to back. But probably what it was is that I did my normal life, which included sleeping in a position that adds stress to something and sitting at a desk in a position that adds stress to something. And all of these things combined with then the exercise that I did was just too much. Or that my posture or the way I walk is such a way that I'm always putting a stress on some part of my body just because of the way I move and stand, that you could tell that, oh, well, you're going to have neck issues. So if you've got a neck problem, okay, I can see it just in how you walk kind of a thing. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I see lots of problems. I don't know whether they've risen to the level of pain for someone, but I see lots of problems. In fact, you know, I have a series of YouTube videos where I recorded people in an airport just walking.
Yeah. And I heard about that.
And I just commented on all of their dysfunctional walking patterns, you know,
right,
just so people can see walking is one of the primary, it's one of the things that we are built to do and we have to do well. And if we don't do it well, we're in big trouble. And you could see in these videos, I comment on what's going on with these videos and hypothesize the type of pain that they might have. But, you know,
now or in the
walking
future,
is a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting because I wonder if walking is so fundamental that if people have abnormal or dysfunctional walking motions, maybe it's a sign of something.
Well, let me tell you this. If you have pain in your back, pelvis, hip, knee, or foot, you have dysfunctional walking habits. That's how important walking is.
So that's probably everybody.
It's everyone who has pain in their back all the way down to their foot. If you have chronic pain, it's likely tied to something you're doing because of your walking pattern. No one in my clinic got out of my clinic without learning how to walk correctly. And frankly, walking is the keystone to fixing almost all of that type of pain from back to foot.
Okay. So at some point here, before we finish, I want to talk about what should we all be doing? Maybe what do you do to stay out of trouble? Sounds like having a proper walking gait or pattern of movement and walking plenty to practice it will be part of that.
Well, you know, regardless of whether you walk plenty or not, every time you walk, if you walk correctly, it certainly helps.
Yeah, well, the only way to change your behavior is to practice the right one.
Right, yeah. And so the primary problem that's happening with most people is that most people are walking with their foot moving out in front of their body excessively. All right. And so they have a nice heel strike out in front of their body. Well, what this typically does is it causes the knee then to lock, which turns off the gluteus maximus, the big butt muscle, which has multiple functions throughout the low back, pelvic, and hip and knee and foot even. So if that gluteus maximus gets turned off, anything from back pain to plantar fasciitis can occur. So it's hard to say, oh, you've got gluteus weakness, therefore you must have knee pain. No, you know, there's so many different ways that you can compensate. It could be any or all of those things, including SI joint pain. So that's the most common problem that most people have, is that they have learned to walk with their foot, with their foot coming out in front of their body instead of their body moving forward with their foot.
So taking a big step.
Well, I can take a big step and still walk correctly. So it's not whether the stride length is too long or too short. The real issue here, Joe, is that people are doing this. The leg is coming out in front of them, right? And instead of their body moving forward with the leg. So I can take a real big step and still have my body come forward with my leg.
Oh, if your body's above your foot? I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the main key. And when the body moves forward with the foot, then the knee is automatically softened, which then allows the gluteus maximus to turn on, which then controls pelvic tilt, hip socket behavior, you know, lateral tilt of the pelvis, control rotation at the knee joint, rotation at the foot joint, all sorts of things. So the butt has a whole lot to do with it. So in a nutshell, if I was going to give anyone one thing to do, would be just to follow that, practice that type of that mindfulness when you're walking. to feel your body moving forward with the advancing foot instead of lagging behind it. And that will likely solve a lot of problems. Okay, so let's start with the systems thinking, because this might answer a lot of the, you know, questions.
Okay.
So in my simple, and I think of this as simple. It's comprehensive, but it's simple. And so our body has three systems in it, called a movement system, a fascial system, and a reflex neurological system. And all three of those three systems have the same three patterns that they produce or get stuck in. And those three patterns cause three types of big pattern problems that cause most chronic pain, back pain, pelvic pain, SI joint pain, what have you. So if you understand that there are just three ways that my body is going wrong from a large picture perspective, you may have one or two of those, but you can't have all three.
Okay.
And so once you understand that, and the three problems are an extension problem where the back is too arched, a flexion problem where the back is too flat, and then a side bending problem where the pelvis and ribcage are uneven from side to side. They're off. All right. And so the way we move, our fascial system and our reflex systems reinforce these three fundamental patterns that we tend to get stuck in that cause pain. Once you understand which of your three patterns you have, everything else is figuring out how that is contributing to that pattern. So when I do my systems testing, I first figure out, and it's really simple. We can go over on your podcast if you want.
Yeah.
We figure out first the system, the pattern that they have. And then every test after that is explaining why they have that pattern. And there's, like I said, there's only like, including those tests to figure out which pattern you have, there's only like seven or eight tests. It's really simple and it's logical. And so once I explain this to people, they're just like, oh my gosh, that makes perfect sense. Because I find that if people can understand why their body is doing what they're doing, then they're going to stop doing those things.
Okay, so
does that make
my
sense?
Back is either too curved or it's too flat, or mm-hmm. my hip and rib cage is not it's
uneven.
Imbalanced. I've got the hip, you know, my hip is at an angle.
Right.
When I'm,
and this is
I
often
guess just
diagnosed.
Standing.
That last one is often diagnosed as a leg length discrepancy. I'm sure you've heard that term before, but that is so completely rare. I have heard hundreds of patients come into my clinic saying they've been diagnosed with leg length discrepancies, and they do not have a leg length discrepancy. They have that last pattern, the side bending pattern, that makes it look like they have a leg length discrepancy, but it's all just functional compensations that are happening in the body that make it look like one leg is longer than the other.
I got it. Okay. And so give me an example of one of these tests that you the seven tests that help you to understand why they're doing the one of the three or two of the three.
Well, let's first figure out which pattern you have. All right.
Yeah.
So here's a really easy thing to do. Take off your shirt and have someone take a picture of your back. All right. If you do that, and you notice that your waist has a larger crease on one side of your back than the other, then you have a side bending problem. You have an uneven pelvis and rib cage. Because when the pelvis comes up and the rib cage comes down, it creates a crease. And chances are that your pain, if you have one side of back pain, if you have sciatic pain, SI joint pain, that pain will be on the side of that crease. How simple can that be? Just take a picture of your back. So simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Here is my back.
It's kind of blurry. I can't really see it. Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. I don't think I have much of a
I don't see it. I mean, from what I can see, I don't see a crease, possibly on your left side. But
I've got serious issues. I've had big bike crashes and stuff and broken bones. But I don't think I have a big side to side thing on mine.
So
anyway, but that's a good tip. So people could do that.
Here's the other really simple test. It takes 60 seconds. We won't spend that long to do it. Lie down on the floor with your legs straight for 30 seconds. then just simply bend your knees with your feet flat on the floor. Which one does your back feel better with? Do you have back pain, Joe?
I do not anymore. And that test you told me about the first time we ever spoke, and my back yes. hurt when I laid flat on the ground. And then after I started softening my knees, it went away.
Exactly. So what is that telling us? Well, when your legs are straight laying on the ground, your back is more arched. And when you bend your knees, your back becomes flatter. Simple, nothing technical. So if your back hurts more when your legs are straight, you have an arching problem with your back. It's too arched, which means you have an extension problem. If your back feels better with your knees bent, same thing. You're reducing that arch, and so it feels better. So that's confirming that you have an extension problem. If your back feels better with your legs straight, you have a flexion problem, which means that your back is too flat and it wants more arch.
Okay. So I have the former one. I like
the extension
my
problem.
Knees to be soft.
And here's the interesting thing, Joe. 99% of the people that come into my clinic have an extension problem as the source of their back pain. But the most popular method to treat backs is treating the opposite of that pattern. It's to do more prone press-ups and back arching and raising your arms up and arching your back. So people actually increase their pain by doing what by following the most popular method to treat backs that is taught to almost all physical therapists.
That sounds bad.
I didn't follow that because I found very quickly that my patients were getting worse when I had them do those things. And so what a lot of therapists do is they double down. Oh, well, you're not doing it enough, or maybe we need more extension in your back. You must not be going deeply enough. And I'm just like, this is completely wrong. And that's why I decided to look elsewhere. And this is how I came up with all of this stuff. So this is the fascinating thing is that technique, I'm not going to put a name to it, but that technique that's taught to almost all physical therapists, and they spend thousands of dollars after physical therapy school getting certified in this technique, only works for a very small percentage of people. And those percentage of those people are people with acute disc problems or herniations of their back. Acute meaning short term.
Yeah.
That respond well to that type of therapy.
Oh boy.
But if you have chronic back pain, 99% of those people have the opposite of that pattern that they've been treated for. And it's perplexed me that, you know, I get patient after patient saying, I've been doing all of these exercises and my back is even worse. I'm just like, it's because you've been doing all those exercises. So now you've figured out which pattern you have, and you can have a side bending pattern together with an extension problem or a flexion problem, right? Okay. So those two can go together. But once you know what those two patterns that you have, all the other tests are just confirming why. And it makes everything so much simpler.
Okay. And the why gives you then a clue to what to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So like, give me an example that, you know,
sure.
since we're not dealing with a specific person.
Yeah. Let's say that you have an extension problem, which means that your back hurts more when it's more arched.
Yeah.
And from a behavior standpoint, that means that when you stand up and you walk, you tend to have more pain than if you sit down. If you sit down, it feels like a relief to your back.
Yeah,
and if you're standing up, because you're standing and your back is more arched.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
All right. So it's so simple. So what's one of the things that would cause, well, other than movement behaviors and habits, what tight muscle would cause something like that? Your thigh muscles in the front of your legs. They attach to the front of your pelvis. And when your thigh muscles are tight, they tilt the pelvis forward. And then that creates more arch in your back, which creates your back pain. So stretching the thigh muscles is one of my secret weapons to fix a lot of back pain that is an extension problem.
Wow. Simple as that.
Now imagine, I'm sorry.
Simple as that.
As simple as that. And guess what? If one thigh muscle is tighter than the other thigh muscle, that creates a rotational torque through the pelvis. Oh. And now you contribute to a side bending problem or SI joint problems or unilateral back pain because of that.
Oh, well, that it's is so interesting. Simple. You're sort of trying to talk about me, and that used to be true for me, and that stopped after I started walking with the bent legs, and also when I stand with bent legs, and I can stand up all day long. I can stand up with, and it used to be terrible pain. You know, I had to sit down, you know, just to give myself some relief. But now I find that what I do is that if I am feeling my back at all, I just rotate my hips and I just take some of the curve out just with my hips. And I find that that is relief as well.
Yeah. So going back to what you just said about bent knees, let's cue the listeners in to what you're talking about here. So let's say you've got an extension problem. You just tested that my back feels better when my knees are bent lying on the ground. So it wants to be flatter. Now let's have everyone stand up. And if they stand up for the next 30 seconds and listen to your podcast, they'll notice that their knees tend to lock straight back. And even if it hasn't been 30 seconds, if you're standing up now, lock your knees straight back and you'll feel that your back is arching more. So what you were just saying, Joe, is, oh, I just found that if I unlock my knees, my back feels a lot better. So if you're at home, unlock your knees and you'll feel your back arches less.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure, lock the knees one more time and you'll feel your back arch more. So if you have an extension problem and you stand or walk by locking your knees, every step you take, if it's 10,000 steps a day, is contributing to your extension problem. You need to learn to walk with unlocked knees, which is what we've talked about just 10 minutes ago, walking correctly.
Exactly. You know, and part of the, I'll bet you that part of the problem, not only that people don't know what a proper walking technique is, you know, they haven't been four in a long time. And so, you know, their instinctive movement patterns are gone. They are completely unconscious about how they're doing it. They don't have any conscious awareness of what their muscles are doing. They just know that it hurts, you know, after a while. So what you're describing, I think, is a way of kind of reintroducing conscious awareness of what is your body doing and how that could contribute to, you know, pain that you don't want.
Exactly. I mean, everyone always is perplexed by why they're having pain. And, you know, I take them through these simple tests and they finally understand it and they can fix it. So let's also think about this, though. Let's say that you have anxiety or you have a high stress job, right? So that triggers most people to lock their knees. You can imagine if you're walking through dark woods at night and you hear something, a branch snap, you come to attention, you lock out your knees and you're looking around to see what's going on because you're trying to figure things out. So that's an anxiety or stress can produce that same behavior. If you're working at work and you're sitting in your chair and you're arched your back all the time because you're stressed at work, right? That contributes. So that psychological stress can cause that same pattern to occur, even though there's not a biomechanical cause of it. And this is reinforced by fascia. So especially fascia in our low back, I don't know how deeply you want me to get into it, but our sympathetic nervous system is triggered, it releases molecules that trigger our fascia to contract in our low back area, causing the back to arch more. So this is how the sympathetic nervous system, for those of you who don't know, is our fight or flight nervous system that is triggered when we're stressed, anxious, so forth. So if you are in an anxious or stressed situation chronically, then you have chronic amounts of these molecules that are triggering the fascia to cause your back to arch, contributing to your extension problem.
That's interesting. Okay. So this may be why this is a very common problem. Because who's not stressed? I don't know anybody who's not stressed. So that sounds different from the way I normally contract my muscles, you know, with like nerves that seem to be quick.
Correct.
You know, I can like say, I want to move my arm, and I just kind of reach out and, you know, and I grab something and I pull it back. You're talking about a chemical released into my blood. That's got to be slow.
Joe, you are so spot on. That is so perceptive of you. Most people don't pick that up. So this type of contraction is a chemically based contraction, just like you just said. And therefore, the lead up is a longer tail leading up to it, and it's a longer tail leading out of it. So your brain may have said to your back muscles, you can stop contracting now, and they've stopped. But this neurological or this psychological component, these chemicals, they're called transforming growth factor beta 1, circulating in your bloodstream, are continually circulating, causing the fascia to contract. All right? Even though your brain is saying relax. And so I can't believe how perceptive you were on putting that together so quickly. Nice job.
Well, thank you. It's good to get lucky sometimes. So that means it's you can't just tell yourself to relax if you're sort of chronically stressed.
Correct. And this is where you can do movement exercises that teach you to relax. This is the beautiful thing about the mind-body connection, is that it goes both ways. The mind relaxes the body, but the body can relax the mind too. And that's why, you know, I do a lot. That's where Hannah Somatics comes in. That's like the jelly to my peanut butter and jelly treatment sandwich. So that when, you know, when I sense that someone is under significant tension, this is when I start leaning more heavily on a somatic solution rather than a biomechanical solution. Because if we don't address that tension-derived contraction, then no matter how many times I ask them to stretch or strengthen something, it's always going to revert back to what it was.
I gotcha. Yeah, this has come up many times in my various episodes over the years, that people have lost their balance, their autonomic balance. They're, you know, you're supposed to have moments of stress and then moments of relaxation. You know, you got to give your body, you got to be able to run away from predators and catch some food and you know, other things that you need to do. But you also then have to be able to relax and recover and, you know, and all of those things. And because who knows why, but I have always thought of it as, because I'm a good provider, I work hard, I'm always productive, I hate to waste time. So even when I go to the toilet, I bring my phone and I'm checking my emails and I'm seeing what's in the news. And, you know, I never take a minute to relax. Oh, it's time to relax and go to sleep. Take a drug. And then I can, you know, make my body pass out. It's like, that's not how it works. You gotta have a balance in there. And this, and it's not, and it's even for just like pain in my body, I've got to have it.
Yes, you're exactly right. And so these are the big picture things to keep in mind. You know, you ask about, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm stiff and I'm, you know, achy. And, you know, so we have to think about these kinds of things as, you know, it's, we're so trained to think and also hope that it's just a tight muscle that I need to stretch, right?
Yeah.
Or this is a weak muscle that I need to strengthen. But it's, you know, it's about how you're moving your body throughout the day. It's how you're walking. It's your stress patterns, you know, it's a lot. And so you don't have to master all of these elements of your body in order to be pain-free. But it just depends on which element is the big player in your life and how it's manifesting that in your life. It could be biomechanics is 90% of the problem and tension is 10%. Well, why waste time on the tension then? Let's fix the biomechanics. But some people, it's 90% psychological issues driving a lot of their tension, that, and it's 10% biomechanical. And so we have to then address those psychological issues or emotional issues.
You explain that so simply. And I've actually had many people on the show talking about pain, and is it like an emotion, and it's kind of a mental psychology thing. you know, or is it damage or, you know, all of those things. And you've just described it as it's all of those things. And for you, it could be one or the other or both. So that was a good explanation. I don't know what else we need to get into along those lines, you know, patterns, you know, your book was about patterns, you know, or your philosophy and how all that comes together in your systems. But what I would like to get to as soon as we can is this, okay, all of this learning that you have done that helps you to help people who've got pain, how would you turn that into another book that would be about, you know, for the older athlete, what should you be doing, even if you don't have like really bad pain? You know, I don't have terrible pain, you know, I'm stiff maybe in the morning or I don't recover as well as I used to. And I've got this, you know, knee thing that bugs me now and again, you know, cause right. I've been around for a while. You know, what should we do? And maybe it's all lifestyle, but maybe there are some things like stretches or strengthening things that are, you know, body weight things that you just do every day, positions on your desk, that if you're anything you do for a long time in a row, is there anything like that? Could, you know, painkillers, good or bad, you know, what could an older athlete do to stay out of trouble? You know, I don't have terrible pain yet, and I haven't come to see you because I'm, you know, I'm not sure what I would learn from you, but you're going to reveal it to me now.
So we touched on this earlier. You don't know what's wrong. And so pain is not an indicator that something is not wrong. Just because you don't have pain doesn't mean you're perfect.
Oh yeah.
And so, and the older, frankly, the older athlete is no different than the younger athlete in this regard. And so what I, you know, recommend, and not to sound like I'm just plugging my book, but my recent book, Pain Patterns, takes you through the 7 tests that you should do to figure out where your problems are. And it tells you how to fix them. And then you incorporate those into your lifestyle. You know, if it's walking differently, learn how to walk differently. You know, if your thigh muscles are tight, then stretch your thigh muscles. You know, if you know you have an extension problem and you're at your work is very stressful, then set a timer and do a little checkout for 30 seconds where you do some deep breathing and undo that extension pattern that your body has crept into, you know, midway during the day. You know, so the book talks about, you know, it takes you through all of these tests and how to fix these problems, but more importantly, how to think about your body. Because, I mean, you said it at the beginning, Joe, the difference that I have that a lot of other people aren't doing is that I test. How can you know what to do if you don't test what's wrong? Otherwise, again, we're just throwing things. What if I told you, oh, Joe, you just need to relax more? Oh, well, what if tension isn't your problem, though? You know, what if it's a left gluteus maximus that isn't working and that's your problem, you know? So you won't know that until you test. And because we're so out of touch with our bodies and our bodies are so good at compensating around problems, there's no way you can just do a mental scan of your body and say, no, both of my butt muscles are working perfectly fine. No, you don't know that. You know, you have to test it to be sure, you know? And there's so much more, and we can go through all those tests if you want. I've put them on my YouTube channel for free. So if people I've created a pain patterns YouTube series, video series, that takes them chapter by chapter through the book, all for free on YouTube, takes you through all the testing you can do. Start with chapter 1 so you understand what's going on, and then go through all of the chapters and don't stop after the last testing chapter because there's so much more after that to help you fix the problems that you're finding. So would be the helpful, easiest and freest thing to do.
Yeah, so, well, people should definitely do that. I mean, that's generous of you. Thank you. It's got to be true. Maybe it's not. But anyway, I would think it in my heart, I believe that it's got to be true that the things that are going to have the biggest effect or are having the biggest effect, whether they're causing pain now or haven't yet, are the things that are the most extreme things, because either it's an extreme movement maybe, or it's the stuff that I'm doing for the longest consecutive minutes in a row, or, you know, I sleep, you know, for myself is one of the things is that I don't move when I sleep. So when I get into a position, I don't move for 8 hours. Well, wow. If I'm in a wrong position that is somehow putting a stress on some part of my body, I'm going to know about that eventually. I've got to believe. And then my desk, sitting at my desk, if my desk position, and we've talked about this before, if my desk position is bad, my chair is, my feet are dangling and they're not touching the floor, or, you know, I've got, you know, I'm reaching out, you know, things like that. If I'm doing stuff for hours and hours and hours, that's going to have a big effect, you know, because it's day after day, right?
Yeah. So our bodies are made for movement. They're not made to be in one position for 8 hours. That's your problem, Joe. Sleeping is that you're not.
I don't
moving.
Know what to do about that. Set my alarm for 30 every 30 minutes.
I mean, I consider that a blessing. I wish I could not move while sleeping.
Yeah, I guess it's not causing me that much pain, or I'd wake up.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, to answer your question along this vein, so I have a story in the book about this woman. She developed sciatic pain. And she got pregnant, and it started some sciatic pain, and then it went away after she gave birth. Uh-huh. And then she had four babies, and after each baby, the sciatic pain stayed longer and longer in the same side all the time. Uh-huh. And finally, it didn't go away after the fourth baby. And so we did a session together, and we figured out that she was compensating for an ankle sprain that she had 25 years ago. That she had never correctly rehabbed because, my ankle doesn't hurt anymore, so I don't need to think about it anymore. But what had happened is subconsciously her brain had unloaded that sprained ankle to the other leg. And over the years, she weight-bared probably 5, 10, 15% more on the other leg than her sprained ankle, and her brain didn't know it, right? She couldn't consciously register that she was doing this. It was all subconscious. And so that side that she ended up compensating to ended up being the problem side. But the source of the problem was the opposite ankle.
I see.
So everyone seems to think, I've got right hip pain, so the problem is in my right hip. No. What if your right leg is compensating for a left leg problem that you completely forgot about because you've been offloading it for the last 20 years. And so in my book, I teach you how to figure that out. It's one simple test. It takes literally 30 seconds to do. But we're so ingrained, you know, because of these YouTube videos and practitioners that we visited. Like I treated a elite marathoner with one side of back pain. She had a whole medical team and it would never go away. And we found out it was from her opposite leg. Her opposite leg was the problem, not the side with the pain. Huh. Once we figured that out and we corrected that problem, her pain went away almost immediately while she was still running marathons. So it didn't require her to stop training. She just needed the knowledge of how to train correctly.
Wow. And so she didn't even have to be patient, which is like amazing.
She didn't have to be patient. And most people don't have to be patient. I'm not a big believer in telling everyone to stop doing everything kind of thing. So,
wow. Great. That's great.
This is the thing is that people aren't aware that this is happening. This is how our bodies operate. And so this is all part of that systems thinking you've mentioned a couple of times is that we have to understand how our bodies work as a system to understand why we're having pain or aches and pains or difficulties doing whatever we're doing. But not having pain is not not an indicator. Like this woman who had a sprained ankle 25 years ago, she was creating massive problems in her body, but she didn't know it.
Yeah. I'm still looking for the magic bean. You know, I just want to know what's that stretch that I should do, and it'll make all the difference.
This is the magic bean, though, Joe, is understanding your body. Yeah. That's the magic bean. How can you know if you found the magic bean if you don't know what you're looking for?
Yeah. So when I ask you for like a mobility routine in the morning that everybody should do, you're like, what? We need to, yes. Everybody needs to find out what they need. They should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've created a personal workout for myself that hits all of these systems in different ways.
Yeah.
Because I, about once or twice a year, I have a lateral shift problem and have a disc problem in my back. And so since I've been doing this, I have not had that problem. So it's helped create more symmetry in my body.
All right. Tell us what it is. For me. What do you do?
It's a series of things, but, it's just simple. I do, push-ups and, biceps curls, and I have a speed bag, but I do also these things. I have something called a Neanderthal lunge that I do, that I do with weights, and I reach overhead while I'm doing this Neanderthal lunge. I do side planks with leg lifts, and I do, all sorts of things, single leg standing on a Bosu ball with my eyes closed and turning my head and all this kind of stuff. Cool. Just to, keep tweaking the deficits that I have. So all of these things target deficits that I have. And I know where they are. I know what they are. And this is the best way for me to address them so far.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks for sharing. All right. Let's just talk about pain. As an athlete and an older athlete means that I've been doing this a long time. It's always this like black box thing of, what was that? Is that a bad pain or just a nuisance pain? Should I stop right now because something's going to pop, or that's nothing, I can work through that? Or is that a burning pain? Is that a sharp, do you know what I'm saying? How could a person think about the actual pain and know how to react to it?
Yeah, well, if it's a brand new pain, unrelated. Let's say, I've had knee pain for years, but just the other week I had left shoulder pain. Well, that if you haven't had that for years and that's something completely new, then that's, I think of as more probably an acute problem that would respond well to some minor stretching or strengthening or things like that. And it
would taking it easy a little bit.
Relatively quickly, it would go away if you just, saw a physical therapist or someone and massaged it or, strengthened it or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about a pain that pops up every now and then, once or twice a year for the last 15 years, then, or let's say you've had knee pain for the last 15 years, but now I'm starting to develop plantar fasciitis in that same foot, or now my hip's starting to hurt, or my other hip is hurting.
Yeah.
So this is, if it's in that same system, and I divide the body into two systems. One is the back and upper body system, and the other is the back and lower body system.
Okay.
The back is where the two systems can cross and affect each other. But generally, if you have any kind of lower body system problem, and any new lower body system problem that you've had other lower body system problems in the past, it's probably all linked together.
Okay.
And so this is your body saying, hey, I've been knocking on this door for 3 years now. I'm going to knock on a new door for you. And I really hope you start paying attention. So that's how to think about those things.
It's not going to get better until you do something about it.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it helps if we can divide the body into two simple systems, an upper body and lower body.
Yeah.
If you're having multiple system problems in one system, then it's time to really address that. Then you can't blow it off anymore because your body's going to start coming up with more and more doors.
I see. And painkillers just to kind of mask it. That sounds like a short-term solution at best.
Likely.
Yeah.
And also, I believe this is my personal bias, but if you're just going to foam roll something or get a massage, and have something done to you, rather than actually understanding and fixing the problem, then that solution will also be temporary. You've got to understand your system and fix it. And it's so much easier than most people are led to believe.
Ah, good. And this is in your videos?
It's in my pain pattern videos. It's in my book.
Fantastic.
I've made like over 300 videos on YouTube. And I feel like I'm just saying the same thing in different ways in all the videos because I take people through tests. And I show them how to fix things. And, it's just like, it's so simple, Joe. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm pretty stubborn. And I stuck with this until I figured it out. And so that's the only reason I figured it out, not because I'm smart.
Fantastic. Because there could be some new people here. I was going to mention a couple of things that I've always gotten a chuckle when I talk to you about. It came up in the first one, and it was that people's instincts, their intuitions about what to do are not trustworthy. People are biased. And so, you know, if you're a flexible person, then your bias is stretching and getting more flexible, right? And so the answer is, Doc, what stretch do I need to do if I'm a flexible person? Whereas the strength person, the power lifter is like, well, you know, what muscle do I have to strengthen to stop that pain? And anyway, I just think that just makes me laugh every time I think about that. And because every time I mention it, we then go right into another topic and I start talking about what do I have to strengthen, you know, because so now you know where my bias is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It is. You know, loose people think they need stretching and, you know, strong people think they need strengthening.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this is the testing. Why do you test? You know, find out what your problem is, find out why you have this problem, and then follow, you know, what your video says and
fix it.
And yeah. You're saying you should feel benefit right away. You don't have to have faith. It just, it will work or it, you know, or you're doing the wrong thing.
Correct. Or you're doing it incorrectly. That's the third option.
Well, so if you have minor issues, I suppose maybe you can do it on your own. Just to try that.
Of course.
But if you can't get relief by yourself with just videos, well then, you know, get some help.
Joe, even if you have major issues, I think you can do it on your own. I mean, I really do. You just don't have the right information. And this goes to the fundamental difference between my systems thinking and how the rest of most medicine of us are trained in medicine, is that we are trained in component thinking, isolating a tissue or a joint or a bone and saying, here's the problem. I must treat that bone, joint, muscle, whatever it is. All right.
Right.
But not realizing that it is a system of problems that is causing that thing to break down.
Yeah.
And so this is the big difference. And so I don't blame people for thinking the way they do, because you can't go anywhere on the internet, start thinking about everything that you read on the internet about any ache or pain from a systems versus a component thinking standpoint, and you will realize that 99.99% of all the information is a component thinking based thinking, right? It's not systems, because guess what? We can't do medical research on systems because it's a system. You can't isolate something to say this did that and then this did that, because it's a system. It all works together. And so there's no research that really is putting all this stuff together. It's, you know, it falls to individuals like me or other people who are trying to figure out how our systems work as a system.
Sure. And even if they could do a test, it would, well, I'm not sure what the test would be of, because the answer you're saying is different for each person who's got a lifetime of making mistakes, of injuries, of, you know, the way they sleep, the way they sit at their desk, the way that they walk.
But it all falls into three patterns, Joe. That's the beauty of it. You could have, you know, you have a left sprained ankle. This other guy has a right bad knee. It all is creating the same three patterns of problems. That's the beauty of it, is once you understand your pattern, then you understand how these injuries are creating that, you know? So even if you have different things, that's the beauty of it. It's all so similar. It's the same thing over and over and over again. This is the beauty of it. Yes, your thigh might be tight and someone else's calf might be tight, but it still creates the same pattern of problems. Once you understand the pattern, you understand everything.
Very interesting. So it's not like this infinite list of possibilities. It's not that many possible combinations.
There's only 7 tests in the book. There's only 7 tests. It's so simple. This will tell you almost everything you need to know about why you're having pain. And likely how to fix it.
All right. Well, I don't want to hear about anybody who's complaining about their pain who has not checked out your book or your videos. Because that's just laziness. I mean, it's right there. Okay.
It is.
So what haven't we spoken about?
I think you've covered a lot of everything. I you know, it's hard for me to know where people's minds are, you know? And so I think if they can just open their mind to the idea that our bodies work as a system and say, all I need to do is figure out which of these three system problems, patterns I have. Mm-hmm. If you can understand that, you can figure out everything else. So, I have like hundreds of reviews on Amazon from people who have solved their chronic pain that they've gone to medical practitioners forever, you know, for. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because I didn't create this. I didn't look at all of this and put all of this together so that you would need me to help you fix your pain.
I see.
You know, it's you who needs to fix you. Not, I'm not the reason you're arching your back. You're the reason you're arching your back. You're the reason you're walking incorrectly. And you're the reason why you're going to fix it too. And so the whole premise of this is to give people the power back into your hands, rather than thinking that you need to go see some specialist or practitioner who has some special unique hands-on technique or something like that. You don't need that. You just need to understand your body.
That's marvelous. I tell you, that really fits with my personal philosophy, because I'm not trying to collect a team of experts who can, you know, keep me going, you know, for a long time. I want to learn how to live my life in a healthy way that suits me, that allows me to do what I want. And this is exactly what you're describing.
Yes. I mean, so many people, I mean, I'll see them, you know, I do virtual sessions or I'll do in-person sessions and they're just like, you really helped me. I said, I didn't do a thing. You're the one who did it. And I just want, you know, I always put it back on them. You're the reason you're better. It's not me, because you're the one who's making the change. So if you can remember that, that's the big deal, is that you can make the change. The problem is people, because they've been ingrained in this component thinking, which stretch do I need to do to fix this one problem?
Yeah.
They're so engrossed in that type of thinking. There's nothing representing systems thinking out there to say, oh, I think I need to understand things from a bigger perspective. That's why I'm so happy to talk to you, because you naturally get it. And it's wonderful. So
yeah,
thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, and I think the people listening here are smart enough to get that this feels right. This system's idea is why the spot solutions, you know, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And this is it's taken us three conversations, but I'm finally getting what you're saying. You've got to find out what's wrong with you and find out why you're doing that wrong thing. And then you can figure out how to stop doing it.
Look how thin this book is.
It's not thick.
It's not War and Peace. It's not going to take you, it's not going to take you years to fix this. Seriously, you can figure this out in one day, all the problems that you're having in one day. It's so simple. And it won't take you years to fix either. You can fix them. Usually, most people fix most of their problems in 1 to 2 weeks. And usually within a few days, they're feeling significantly better.
Wow.
It's amazing. Our bodies are designed to heal itself. That's why, you know, you break a bone and it heals. You cut your skin, it heals.
Right.
Pain is just an indication that something is in the way.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to do is show you what those things are and how to get them out of your way.
Fantastic. Rick, this was great. I really appreciate it. Hey, tell our audience how to find you online, your YouTube stuff, your book.
Yeah. So on my rickolderman.com website, I have all my books, my home programs, and I'm rebuilding my website. I'm hoping it's up within the next day or two.
Good.
But I have also YouTube, like my most popular YouTube videos that are diagnostic videos to help people diagnose, you know, more things about their body. And they're only like 5-10 minutes long. They're really short videos,
right?
Long things. So I'm trying to create a huge resource. I have a free ebook on there to help people start to get their mind around this whole idea of systems thinking. So that's there. They can book an appointment, but that's the best way. And then I also have a YouTube channel that people can subscribe to. I drop a new video every Friday. And like, I just had a live Q&A session on YouTube a few weeks ago, and I had over 100 questions. So now I only got to answer like 4 or 5 of them. So now I'm making videos of all of those questions and answers.
Fabulous.
For YouTube. So that's going to take me a while. So those will be dropping throughout the year as I make those. So just subscribe and you'll see those, and you know, that kind of
stuff. Sounds like a great resource. Thanks for that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. A really cool thing is if people buy the book, so I've just created this really cool assessment tool. And the book is Pain Patterns, Why You're in Pain and How to Stop It.
Okay.
And so what I did is I created this assessment tool. So it takes people through the test, you know, automatically. So yeah. They do the test and then you write down your answers in this assessment tool. And then you write down your injury history and it puts everything together for you. So
Real.
It tells you what your problem is and likely the injuries that are leading to that problem, why you're having it. And it gives you like a tier one, 2 or 3 exercises you should do to fix the biggest problems. And then it has phase 2 that tells you, you know, the next things that you should probably focus on. And that's all free.
Wow.
So this tool
is on your website.
It's on the pain pattern. So all the exercises and tests in my book, on all of my books, are you can access through my website. And so you have to have the code from the book to get there.
Oh,
but once you get to those exercises and tests, it'll be on that page and you'll see the assessment tool that says, and then you can start it. Or you can just ignore the assessment tool and just do whatever stretches or whatever you want. But the assessment tool kind of will help you put everything together. I'm really excited about it because it's the first time I've been able to, you know, put this stuff together. Because I think what people say, they feel overwhelmed. Now what do I do? Oh my gosh, what about this? And this assessment tool will put it all together for you, and it's absolutely free. You don't, you know, have to do anything weird. So I'm really excited. I want people to use it, and I'm hoping it'll actually be on that page within the next 2 or 3 weeks, because we're still testing it. But I'm really excited about it because I feel like if I can help people, Joe, figure this stuff out for them, then you know, word will spread about this type of solution. And so.
Yeah.
It's up to me to figure out how to best help people. And I think this assessment tool will be a big one for them.
Well, it sounds great. I mean, it's not quite as awesome as a magic bean, but since the magic bean doesn't work, then I think your way's better.
All right. Well, thanks. Yeah. It's tough competing against a magic bean, I have to say.
It's tough. Until you've tried a few of them and you find out these are junk.
Right.
All right. Rick, I appreciate it. Thanks very much, man. Have a good night. Thank you so much for joining my conversation with Rick Olbermann. You can find more information about Rick and how to find his videos in the show notes.